Good morning, everybody. As I'm sitting down and my stepdad points to me to come up here, I'm going, I don't know. I don't have much to say. I think there's much better selections out there. I don't quite understand. A lot bigger room than last in the sheep shed. It's neat for it to come together. Working on it long enough, I didn't think it ever would, but it came together. Praise the Lord. But no, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've lost my footing, and it's been hard to get it back. Real hard to get it back. That's just me. But I had something interesting that happened last night, and you know, as I'm gone through my week of seeming like barely getting through it, coming out the end of the job without walking off, praise the Lord, I'm still got a job. But I had somebody give me a call. And he, probably around my age, maybe a little younger, has a couple kids. And he lost his job. He lost everything he had. And I have talked with him before, somebody that I sort of know. And I was looking at that, and I know how easily I could be in that same position. And it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. But as far away as I have felt, you know, how disconnected I have felt from where I have been and where I'm at now, how just disconnected I have felt, I know, and I had that witness of the only reason why anything has gone right in my life is because Jesus Christ and His grace. And I have nothing to boast upon. And that is what I had to offer to Him, was just that. You know, I haven't done anything right. The Lord was good to me. And that's the only reason why I'm here. But something it was just awakening. You know, because we get caught in our battles of our own mind and the frustrations of life and all this, but when this comes across your plate and you realize how good the Lord's been to you and where you're at and where you could be at, that grace is stripped away from me, it's a scary thing. But I know if the Lord worked on my behalf, and as stubborn and as miserable, wretched man that I am, there's not a doubt in my mind He's going to work for on this guy's behalf. No, even much more so. I mean, look, mine was my own choosing and my own doings, my own choices that led me in the place I was. His was just kind of given to Him that way. And I'm sure He's made some decisions that didn't help out, but you know, His was actually done against Him. And so, hey, look, I know if He moved on my behalf, definitely move on His. And on your guys and on you guys and everybody else out there in the world. You know, Scripture says He died for the sins of the whole world. not just for you. You know, I'm definitely nothing special. It's just I found the Lord. The Lord found me, really. Really wasn't looking. It came across my plate. And I went through a series of times of making bad decisions and being beat down and bearing the wretchedness of my own decisions that got me to hit my knees, truly. So, the Lord's good and His grace is good. And so that's really all I have to share this morning.
It hadn't been that long ago when we did a study on the fear of the Lord. And amongst some of the things it said, the Bible said, was that the beginning of wisdom. And we went through some scriptures and it said that it meant as well standing in terror. And that's an emotional response. But there's also a subjection and a reverence element to it. That's a choice. And it's a response based on the terror. Because you deserve the terror. But partially, you know, we only see partially. And we seem to have a limited capacity to see it all as a unit. But God's personality is righteousness and judgment and love and grace and mercy, and they all have their inner workings. They're all intertwined. And one doesn't work in exclusion to the other. That's what makes it perfect. And, you know, while Philip, while I, while Brad, and whoever else were enemies of God, He showed His mercy. And His Son died for us. So, you know, sometimes we have to be reminded of that. And, you know, the Lord was merciful and brought this guy back into Philip's life. And that's a good thing. He's in a place now where He can probably minister to him. And that's a part of how gracious and merciful He is, even though, you know, we sometimes just can't find a nut as a squirrel. It's, you know, we're in a tree with nuts all around. Can't find one for nothing. Where was I going to go to? Let's see. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I love my tortured metaphors. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? While one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave unto every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, we sit around here and we do all these Bible studies, and we all fancy ourselves as eating meat, getting some real strong stuff. The truth of the matter is, when we're called upon to make choices, we still yet choose to do, as it says here, walk as men. Everybody out there in the world and everybody in the church, they act the same way. You know, if our faith is going to mean anything to us, then we're going to be different. It's in our lives, we're going to be different than people who just say, okay, here's a stuff, bunch of stuff here that I believe. The workings of the Lord and the workings of the Spirit in Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That means there's a working in you that is manifesting belief, manifesting faith, manifesting trust. You know, it's like that when I was looking up the word patience and finding out how many different places it's the same word translated, and the translation of it is an unswerving perseverance and trust. It's not what a kid does to us when they're misbehaving and tries our patience. It's an unswerving diligence and trust that the Lord is not only willing to deliver to you, deliver you to his end, but he wants to deliver and is fully capable of delivering you to his end, to the place where you want to be. And that put a whole different spin on it for me. If that's the patience we're talking about in Romans 5:3, then I want that. I need that, right? So, carnality is simply defined is you're still choosing yourself and what pleases you over what pleases the Lord. And that's an experience-based failing. There's no reason why you can't move from that place. It also means you don't look a whole lot different than anybody else out there. And when you take the milk, you still yet need to be able to digest the milk. The simple foundational truth, Jesus Christ loved even you, Brad. Even you, Angie. Even you, Jeff. And like Paul said, I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's enough. And it is the milk. That's where you come into. You start. That's the precious milk of the Word. But then He would not have you be ignorant. How is this all supposed to work out in your life? What are you supposed to look like then? What is the body supposed to look like when we come together? Carnality and pride and strife and divisions we talked about in James chapter 4. The conditions of our hearts. We war, we fight, and we have not. Who then is Paul? You know, who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We don't do any of that. All we do is sow the seed. God's the one that provides the increase. Neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now, he's something. And if you truly fear the Lord, you're going to understand he is something else. Right? Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. That means they're the same. There's no difference in the quality of the individual. They have a message and a job, and they do it. I lost my place. Where was I? He planted, to give the increase. Now he planted, and here's our one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You know, he goes on here to talk about an ultimate reward, you know, but to me, the most rewarding thing for my labor is to see somebody receive the Lord. See somebody get it right. You know, I don't see these things in terms of what's happening, what's going to be later. I see it as in terms of what's in the here and now. You know, when I have an uncomfortable conversation with somebody and hold them to account, when I see something happen, something change right in the here and now, then, you know, to me, that's reward. That's when I get a reward of seeing the Lord operate, that's good. That's good, man. And you get used to that, and that's part of that experience base that Hebrews talked about. You experience, you learn, you trust. And so much of that is learning, that is patience. Patience is a good thing, man. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, what other foundation do people try to lay?
Law.
Yeah. What does Paul say in Colossians about that? Amongst other things, Well, he says, let no one judge you. That could be it. Ah, there it is. Concerning holy days and other things, it says here, if you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why is the living in the world? Are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, all of which are to perish after the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Doctrines of men aren't going to save you. Doctrines of men aren't going to make you godly. And that's a foundation that is just going to... it's going to fall away. It cannot last. Any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It'll not only... and the sort it is whether that work was to glorify God or whether it was to glorify themselves. Not only the enduring nature of his work and the people that received the gospel. That's the work that's gold and silver and precious stones. If any man's work which abide, any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. That's because the Lord's good. You can receive reward, but you press toward the reward. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the high calling that is Christ Jesus. And in 2 Timothy he says, I have finished my course. I have fought the good fight. But you can't stay. You got to get weaned. Got to get weaned off the meat, off the milk, and get some meat. Meat comes by experience. The Hebrews talks about the same thing. In first three chapters, I believe. I'm not going to go there today. But we need to be able to receive the meat of the Word. And let it work in our hearts. To give us some first-hand experience of the faithfulness and trust that God wants you to experience. You don't get anywhere because you know somebody who knows him, or you married to somebody who knows him. Because how did it work vagabond Jews? They proceeded to try to cast out devils in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. And what happened to them? The demon said, Jesus we know. Paul we know. I don't know you. And they beat him and stripped him and sent him off wounded and naked. Secondhand experience, secondhand faith doesn't get you anywhere. You have to develop your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way this works. You're never going to get any meat until you get that personal relationship with Jesus Christ going. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let all this other stuff be added unto you. It's very basic stuff. If you spend all your time wanting to know all you can know about the Lord, that's a reward in itself. What do you want to do? You want to please yourself? That's idolatry. You want to read what happens here to idolaters? I can take you there. Not pretty. That violates the first commandment of the law, the Mosaic Covenant. I shall have no other God before me, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. No other gods before me is idolatry. Love God, love one another. That is the law and the prophets. Isn't that what he said? Jesus? Paul said it later. It's said in other places. It's not complicated. But you have to have been able to strain out some meat and swallow it to be able to love one another. To be long-suffering, to be willing to be wronged. The Lord, that the Lord may be glorified. This isn't about making me something. I am just a scumbag who's trying to spread some truth out here. I'm not special. Short school bus special, maybe, but I'm not special. And anybody can do this if they choose to. If they want to. And they may can do it better than me. That's no big deal either. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. You can't think more of yourself than you ought. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Lisa's little drops are falling like rocks. Great. Mouth lozenges. Seek Him first in His righteousness. Let all this stuff that you need be added unto you. You need it. Peter. I thought I was winding up. Peter. Chapter 4, verse 17. The time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of it be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It's not easy. It's simple. It's not easy. You have to choose to want to get there. And you have to choose it as often as you have to choose it. How many times yesterday did you have to choose it, Brad? And when you wake up to your brain start working and you realize you need to choose it again, you need to choose it again. Because the outcome of all this is you are hid with Christ in God. And that's where you need to be. Because Christ, who is our life, appears, then we get to be with Him. We get to appear with Him. That's a great thing. I'm done.